good time out there.
And this is Joe Pasquini back at the KSRO news desk. And what a finish. The Cardinal Newman Cardinals are going to the state finals. They defeat Marin Catholic 17-14. And for you that just missed it, let's listen to that last part of the game.
Mitch Russell is the snapper. They're at the left. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is.
He made it!
And Cardinal Newman on the last play of the game. Ethan Collarborn's 36-yard field goal is good.
And they're kick.
Running onto the field with the Cardinal Newman Cardinals, and Marin Catholic is down.
A thrilling finish to the football game that really in the second half, Marin Catholic dominated, rallying from a 10-0 deficit to tie the game at 10-10. But the Ethan Collinmore, a 36-yard field goal at the gun, gives Cardinal Newman a 13-10 win. So we will have two teams, Rancho Cotati and Cardinal Newman, going to the North Coast section or to the NorCal playoffs. Those games will be announced tomorrow. This was a defensive game most of the way. Cardinal Newman and Marin Catholic, it was a punt fest, really, in the first half. Most of the game was, there was like six punts in the first half, but Cardinal Newman moved into position, started a drive at their own 29. They ended the first quarter on the drive, and then they hit a long pass.
First and 10, Pavitt in the shotgun, throws it now out into the flat, and the ball's caught and going down the field, and he looks like he might get into the end zone. He's just short. Giancarlo Woods down at the 1 yard line for Cardinal Newman.
That actually happened in the first quarter, and that set up a quarterback sneak by Jackson Pavitt, and that gave Cardinal Newman a 7-0 lead with 2:15 to go in the first quarter. Cardinal Newman then just went on a drive, got a pass interference, moved close to the red zone, but the Ethan Collinborn missed a field goal, and it stayed 7-0. And then at the end of the first half turned out to be a huge moment in this game. Cardinal Newman drove down to the field. Ethan Collinborn kicked a 46-yard field goal with 3 seconds left, and that gave Cardinal Newman a 10-0 lead. But the third quarter and the second half, as I said, Marin Catholic really dominated. There was defensive most of the way. Gavin Cook came into the second half Marin Catholic at quarterback. He went 40 yards with a run to get him into field goal to set up their first score.
Third down and one. Marin Catholic quickly over the football. Gavin Cook in the shotgun alone. Takes the snap. Student body right. Comes up the middle. And he gets through and he's going to the house. Gavin Cook got through and let's see if he can get in. And he's tackled inside the 5 yard line.
That set up the field goal to make it 10-3 with 4 minutes to go. Gavin Cook had another big run that tied the game at 10-10. The touchdown, and then you heard the interception at the end there. Cardinal Newman then kicked a field goal, a 36-yard field goal to win it, 13-10. And we're now going to go back to Santa Rosa High School, which with what I bet is some happy Cardinal Newman players.
Welcome back to Santa Rosa High School. A fantastic finish here as the Cardinal Newman Cardinals on the last play of the game get a 36-yard field goal by Ethan Collinborn to defeat the Marin Catholic Wildcats 13-10 and win the North Coast Section Division 4 championship. And up here in the booth with me right now is that man. He was possessed all night long, Paul Cronin. How you doing, Coach?
Pretty excited for our kids and happy for our family. So it was good. It was, you know,
It was hard last year. Obviously, we talked with you guys, and we got, you know, we didn't get to play in this game. So just to come out here and play really well and really hard, I think it supported the seniors from last year that did not get the opportunity.
Yeah, Coach, what a great game. 10-0 at first half.
Yeah.
You went in there at in the halftime. Marin Catholic, Mazi Moya, they came out in the second half, and they were really good in the third quarter. They had a great third quarter. They tied it up 10-10.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter, Coach, I thought this was the key play of the game. 11 seconds left. You were at the ball was, you had a fourth down and 12.
Yeah.
You let the clock run down to 11 seconds, which was perfect timing. Give me your thoughts on what happened there, because that was the play of the game. The pass to LaFranchi. Wow.
Yeah. No, you know what? We had something else called coming out of the huddle. We thought we had a matchup with our big receiver on the right side, but they changed coverages. So we kind of pieced the play together that we'd thrown before in the past. Actually, a couple of years ago, Jackson threw it, and we misread that a couple of years ago. And they said, hey, run this combination. And he read the safety, and the safety got out of there to Zion. He hit Justin, who made a great catch over the middle. And that gate, you knew right there. You're like, Ethan's going to hit this thing in. He's done it all year.
Yeah, you know, Collarborn, at the end of the first half, he had a 46-yarder.
Yeah.
And that was huge right there.
Oh,
just
big.
Got over the crossbar.
Yeah.
Gave you guys momentum. You came out. You were going to get the football in the third quarter anyway. So it was a great job.
Yeah.
You know, just a Coach, I've never seen you so engaged. In that first half, you were so intense. And I loved it. I said, you know, I think he's trying to send a message to the boys.
Yeah.
We need to be on our game tonight. And I just loved it.
Oh, yeah, you're in a fist fight, right? You know that they're bigger. They're more physical, you know, guys. You've got a couple guys that are super, super blessed people. So, you know, our kids have to play unbelievable tough to survive a game like that. And so we went in the whole week that with that mantra. Is like, hey, we got to be tough. We're not as big as those guys. We're going to be tough and quick. And you know, when you walked out to the field tonight, you felt like you're going into the ring. And our kids did a great job.
Yeah, and you did a great job, Paul. Your game plan was very cool. We thought on a game tonight like tonight that you would have a little trouble throwing the football.
Yeah.
But no, you didn't. Jackson Pavitt threw the ball well. And my buddy Jeff Woodworth right here, you know he's
in Columbus. Jeff, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff was saying that you guys were using the paper cuts as you moved down the field in that last part of the second quarter to get the field goal. You hit Giancarlo Woods for three consecutive passes, and Jeff was saying, hey, give me your thoughts. I don't want to be
well,
using steel.
Coach, I just have some questions. You flew through the timeouts in the first quarter very, very quickly. Is that so we did take note of that, and it was just like, okay, so I'm wondering what's happening here. So what was the thought process behind that, and then when you carried into the halftime, what did you tell the guys? Because they kind of came out a little flat in the third quarter.
Well, I think when you're coming into the game like this, we had a lot of things on Shane Rand's plate defensively and offensively. So back alignment was important for us because you really are razor thin in what you could run. I mean, they put 7 on one side, 77 on the other side. You can only run certain plays, and he had to influence them to get Jackson to run the ball. And so there was a lot of different combinations going on alone-wise, which is a lot of smoke and mirrors. We're running the same play, just different back actions. So Shane got a little bit confused. We didn't do a good enough job with the communication. In the second half, what they did, they just said, hey, we're bigger and stronger than these guys. And they got in a double tight set, so that eliminates your blitzes off the edge and stuff like that. Zach Moran and Hunter lined up with guys that can physically handle them, and we lose our blitz game. So we had to really take chances up the middle, and you saw some gap exchange stuff happen where they popped some plays. But it was just, you know, it's probably if they look back at it again, Marin Catholic, you know, obviously is a great program, but if they look back at it again, they probably just open the game in that. That's a set that, you know, we're not blessed in that set. We don't have those big, long guys to deal with the tight ends if they're big guys. So, you know, it was one of those things you just, you know, when they got into it, you're like, you know, I was like, oh, no, that's not good. Yeah. So, you know, that first drive, I think that was the tone setter, too. We threw a post to Carlo, which we should have never called that play. That was on me. But we were chucking down the field. We thought, okay, we've got a matchup with 31. Carlo can get him. And I was just too greedy because you wanted to get 17. You knew the number was going to be 17. That's what I thought the number was going to be the whole time. Mm-hmm. And you just wanted that touchdown because you thought the game would be over. They couldn't then run all the balls at you that they could. They'd have to throw it a little bit. But, you know, credit to them. Obviously, you know, they did a great job. Credit to our defense because they were in some tough spots. We, you know, fumbled it down here. We threw a pick. And, you know, those things happen in wet games. But our defense, they kept playing, and they really took care of us.
And then could you just talk about Zion Nunnally real quick, because that was a name that we didn't call a whole lot when we called the game earlier with you guys in Rancho, and it seems like he's somebody who's come on here a little later as the season's come along, had the big diving catch, almost had another, comes up with a game-winning interception.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, I thought the key for him was there was a third down and 10, and the defensive back was way off of him. And I had said, and it's good when you make something right, you want to bring it up. I had said that I thought he could run a 10-yard stop. And you guys did the exact play. So,
we were thinking alike.
He got the ball, and he got the first down, and then that's when it led to your field goal.
Yeah, the key was on that. You know what we did? The corner was reading the quarterback's drop, and what Jackson did, something really smart. We got a vertical cut call. Jackson with a short drop and pumped it and hit the fade to Zion. So now they had no consistency of the drop read of the quarterback. So you're covering a guy that's probably, I mean, I'll say it out loud, Zion's a Division I player. He's got another year left. So how do you cover a Division I guy and man? Right, short and deep. I don't think that's what Deion Sanders got paid a lot of money to do. Right?
He's all over. You know, Grannis, your little linebacker. Oh boy, he was all over the field. And I say little, he's 6'1", 185 but he just had a fantastic game.
We didn't
get to see him play when you guys played.
He was hurt. You know what happened to him? He got in the Liberty, which is a fist fight, just like this one. He actually got his lung punctured, and so he played. Four plays after his lung getting punctured, believe it or not, we finally had to drag him off the field. He tried to go back in. He finally went to the doctor. The hospital kept him for a week and a half. Yep. He had a punctured lung. Yep. I mean, the guy's – he's one of those – you know, he's a blue-collar kid. His parents are blue-collar, great people. And, he's one of those guys, if he would have grown up in the 80s, would have had a lot of fun jumping off bridges and doing things that we used to do. But he's someone we love as a football player for sure.
Yeah. Nice job tonight.
Thanks a lot, huh? Thank you.
Really great job. Really excited
Thanks,
to do this.
Coach.
We're hoping that you know, tomorrow morning's a big night.
We'll find out for sure, yeah.
We're going to find you guys out where we're going to play. Yeah. We got one more game in us, Coach, if it's a Saturday night.
Well, maybe we get two more games in the 79. Nice, right?
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome right there.
That's Paul Cronin. Congratulations, Cardinal Newman. The Division IV North Coast Section Championship. They win it tonight 13-10, Jeff, your alma mater. Huh? Are you excited, dude?
I am excited. The last time I took in a game like this was back in 2011 when my graduating class, I think back to some names like Chris Kwok, Daniel Benjamin, who is an assistant line coach for this team this year. That was the last time they were able to win, as we see Barabalt bringing Jackson Pavitt up here into the
box. Pavitt coming up. All right, there he is. Jackson Pavitt's coming up. Hey, did anybody get Boyle? Where's Dan Boyle?
In the locker room.
Oh, he's in the locker room?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, we got the quarterback coming up. Get up here, Pavitt. Come on, man. Cardinal Newman on a last-second field goal. There was no time left when Ethan Collinborn kicked a 36-yarder, and the ball just going through as the clock struck zero, and here he is, Jackson Pavitt, the senior quarterback, the throw of his life, 11 seconds, fourth down and 13. The football at the 40-yard line, and Pavitt finds LeFranchi over the middle. Give us the call. Give us the play. Tell me what was in your mind. It was unbelievable throw. And what do you got around your neck, dude?
Oh, got a lay. You know, made him for the seniors, I guess. I guess it's just a celebratory thing. You know, that final play, though, there's a bunch of things leading up to it. Obviously, there's a bunch of plays that make up a football game. But coming down to that moment, you know, the safeties were deep. They were trying to prevent a touchdown. We know we just needed one field goal. We had a timeout left to get a field goal in. You know, the safeties were deep. The backers had their eyes on me all night long. They weren't moving much. Finally, instead of going to the outside like we had been picking on, we decided that the backers would probably freeze. So I took an extra second to look at him over the middle. The backers stayed with his eyes on me. They let the slot LeFranchi crossed right across him, and there it was, saw the opening, let the ball go, and it's a surreal play, surreal play.
So you lost this game sophomore year, didn't get to play it as a junior. Describe what it feels like as a senior to bring home an NCS championship. We did see you embrace with Cronin there. There's about 5 seconds left. I was a little concerned. I said, hold on, I don't want any penalties here, guys. But, yeah, just describe that moment embracing with Coach Cronin and then what this championship means to you.
Coach knows how much this means to me, and I know that how much this means to Coach, you know. We've been working so hard for such a long time, especially for me, you know, since sophomore year. Like you said, that original loss was heartbreaking, and it's kind of haunted me because as a safety, it took a little bit of time, but I realized that I was nowhere near where I needed to be for that team. Yeah. So I felt like I was the weak link, and I've been trying to prove myself ever since to come out there and show that I could be the best player on the field, not the weakest link.
Well, let me get this chip off your shoulder, Matt, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Jackson, I got to tell you, the game plan kind of was a little bit surprising. And weather like this, when it was raining and it was wet, you were throwing the football almost all the time. Hardly ever gave the ball to the second diesel. I don't know what were we going to name Shane Moran, okay?
I said second best in the league, or, you know, in the area. Yeah, so.
But I'm saying it was a little surprising. You threw the ball so well, and we liked the idea that you were – in Jeff's words, using the paper cuts. The little short passes to Giancarlo, getting the ball up the field, high percentage throws. You came into the game throwing 70% on completions, 28 touchdowns. You've had a fantastic year.
Thank you.
Guess what? The journey's still going.
Yes, sir.
You're still in the journey. Tomorrow morning we're going to find out who and when you're going to play. And just so proud of you guys. Like, gosh, what a battle. 10-10. When you were up at halftime, 10-0, what did Coach Paul Cronin say to you guys at halftime?
Well, we were still going about every game like we would, still making adjustments regardless of what the scoreboard was like, because that's what we're best at, focusing on our own team. So we tried to come out and treat the game like it was a 0-0 ball game, and that was the mentality we had. Although they came back, we made it count in the end. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy this game with your team, and you got one night to work to enjoy it, because Sunday we're going to find out.
Back to the lab.
Yeah.
Yes,
back
sir.
Back to the lab, okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this chip is gone. Get rid of that chip, okay?
I got to keep it for at least two more weeks if that's possible.
Yeah. Jackson Pavitt, Cardinal Newman's starting quarterback, senior quarterback with the biggest throw of his life. On a fourth down and 13, he finds Justin Lefranchi for a 25-yard gain, setting up Ethan Collarborn for a 36-yard field goal.
Such a stud.
Yeah, very good. All right, my man.
Thank you. Go and
enjoy it. Want to say anything? You got anybody you want to?
No, thank you. That's enough for me.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, terrific night. Jeff Woodward, we got Michael Baribault, the third member of our group, is up here. Jackson Pavitt leaving here. We're all giving him the hugs, okay? Two of our teams, Rancho Cotati and Cardinal Newman, moving on to the regional finals. Michael Baribault joining our team right now. I got to tell you, fellas, I was really impressed with Cardinal Newman in the fourth quarter there late. I thought Marin Catholic had taken control of that game about the start of the second half. Marin Catholic, the big play of the game to me was when Gavin Cook, number 5, came into the game. There was a snap over here, Michael. He picked it up, and he went around the edge of the right team, and it went down the sideline, 40 yards. The game just went upside down. Now, all of a sudden, the Marin Catholic Wildcats had momentum. I think the key to it is that Cardinal Newman didn't break. They only allowed a field goal. They had first and goal at the 5 or 7. They were able to hold them. They only allowed 3. What did you see down there in the trenches, Michael? Because it looked to me like, and Coach Paul Cronin said it, their Division I linemen started to take command of that line of scrimmage.
Oh, their defensive line was incredible. It's probably one of the best. It's the best I've ever seen, that's for sure. And
Jamar Sakuna.
Yes, USC commit.
Giovanni Gelati.
Right, who's going to walk out at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So it's a game in the trenches, right? Marin Catholic took that momentum. You're thinking, if you're on the Cardinal Newman side, like, oh, here we go again. Here comes Marin Catholic. They're going to come back and win this. But the players and coaches didn't blink. And I was very impressed by that. And that's coming from experience, right? They've lost to these guys 3 times. And 2 years ago, they lost in heartbreaking fashion in a rainy game like this at Rancho Cotati after all the fires and everything like that. They had been here before, and they looked like it. And I was very, very impressed with their defense. The interception late in the game, I think with 2 minutes left, that's an incredible play. I mean,
I'm glad you brought that up.
He looked at Ingracia's eyes. He was following him the whole time, and as soon as he looked one way, he broke that way, and he was able to get that ball. That was an incredible play on his end.
Yeah. Jeff, you called that perfectly on that interception. What'd you see on that play?
Exactly what Michael described, is that the quarterback was reading the wide receiver the entire time, and Nunnally, as I stated during the game, was able to read him like a book and ended up picking him like a booger. So it ended up, you know, working out for the Cardinals, and you're able to get some things going. Pavitt hits the pass. I got to say, credit to Jackson Pavitt, because it was not a pretty game. We see this guy. He's made it look so easy throughout his high school career, and this was a game where he definitely had to earn it, and he saved some of his best drives for when it mattered most. Would it be the two-minute drill towards the end of the first half, and then when it mattered, you know, obviously the most to get him in position to get the game-winning kick?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough game for the elements. First time that both these teams had played under this weather and the condition it was. I thought Mazi Moya did a nice job of getting his ship turned in the right direction after the first half. The first half was all Cardinal Newman. They were doing what they wanted. The second half looked to me like it was going really bad for Cardinal Newman. But the big play of the game was that Nunley pass that they got the first down. They kept the chains moving. And just a wonderful finish for Cardinal Newman. Coach Paul Cronin was, you could tell Paul really wanted this game. He was so engaged early. I mean, how often do you see a coach get three?
You could feel the emotion. Not only the interview with Cronin, but the interview with Pavitt, too. Both those guys, the excitement in their voice, the trembling in their voice, just how excited. And a credit to Cronin for watching his mouth, too, on live radio. So thank you very much. Because I can only imagine the types of colorful language that one could describe the emotions that they're going through, not only during the game, but post-game once you've actually got the job done.
Yeah. Well, fellas, you guys both did a great, great season, all season long. I'm hoping we have one more game in us. We'll find out when the seedings and the pairings come out tomorrow where the teams are going to play. I mean, I think we got one more Saturday night in us if we can get it. But Michael Birabalt, nice job all season long down there. Giving us all of the up close and personal sights in the trenches.
And they saved the best game for last for now. The best game was last. Let's see what happens with the seedings. But if this is our last game, they definitely saved the best one.
It's been a hell of a ride this year, just starting off with Santa Rosa Petaluma. We've got, you know, high school Adam Schefter here giving us all the updates as we go along. And hard to believe we made it from that nice little slightly smoky evening. What was that? September, I believe, the start of September, to now here we are battling the elements in the rain in November.
Yeah, and guys, two teams. When was the last time we had two teams win North Coast Section Championships? Cardinal Newman and Rancho Cotati. And, Michael, you were saying something interesting to me, and I hope this doesn't happen. But you said, Nick, after this round, they throw away the divisions.
Yes.
And there's a possibility that Cardinal Newman could play Rancho Cotati.
Yes.
I hope that doesn't happen. That would be a crying shame. That would be just so bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, divisions are out the window. Usually the CIF goes by a formula that they use with strength of schedule, team rating, common opponent, and head-to-head if necessary. So the CIF will go into that formula. They look at a couple rankings, too. I don't think they look at Max Preps, but I think Cal High Sports provides an accurate ranking. So they will look at all those things. They'll put it into a formula, and they will basically – see the teams. I mean, we know De La Salle is going to get the highest bid, and then it's really up in the air after that. I mean, my guess, they will be in the Division II bracket. Cardinal Newman will be in the Division II bracket. Whether it's A or AA, that's the big decision. Rancho Cotati will probably fall into the three or four bracket. But it's CIF, it's all, like, usually with the NCS, like I said before the game, you can kind of guess where teams are going to seed and where games will be. CIF, you really don't know. And, you know, Cardinal Newman, while we think they should host a game, they may be going on the road. So it really depends. And now Rancho Cotati, we think, will have to go on the road. They may host a game. So it's really all up in the air. And
it's
when the brackets come out.
It's the football equivalent of college football playoffs.
Exactly.
You have no idea. It's all subjective as to what the committee's going to take a look at.
And if Cardinal Newman is deserving to host a game, quote, host, they may bring it back here to Santa Rosa, or they may bring it at Petaluma, another neutral site. We'll just have to wait and see. But we may have a game in this area this weekend, and I hope it's Saturday night.
We'll see where the chips fall. I don't know if it's worth – is it worth, honestly, though, I think it's something that we could have a debate about. Is it worth having a rematch between Rancho Cotati and Cardinal Newman? I know that you've seen – really, the two teams have trended upwards You know, Newman, obviously, ever since they had their loss, but even Rancho's managed to bounce back from those losses. I wonder what would happen if they ran it back, what kind of a matchup we'd have. But I'd also think it'd be unfair to those kids because they've already squared off once. Let them take on somebody else and see if they can survive.
I think in 2017, it would have been a great rematch after the NBL championship game with the JC and then that NCS semifinal game. A fourth matchup, I mean, while it would have been unprecedented, it probably would have been an incredible matchup. This year, I think Cardinal Newman, even though Rancho Cattati has had a great run, they have done an amazing job. I think
they're NCS champs too.
Yes, I still think Cardinal Newman is the superior team, and they should be playing different teams. You know, why play two teams against each other in the same league?
Yeah, no, that right there would be a dirty crime. I don't want to see our two teams play each other because they both have a chance to go to the state playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, how cool would that be if they both could play and go to the state playoffs? I mean, I don't think that would be unprecedented.
And even more credit to Rancho Cattati, you know, like Coach Hotaling said at halftime, you know, public schools getting this deep is so rare nowadays. You now have all the private schools getting all these great players advancing. I mean, we have two private schools here. I mean, Rancho Cattati getting as far as they did is really incredible, and especially for Sonoma County, which is now looked at as a real good football county. You know, all the great football, at least from the outside view, is in the East Bay and in that area.
Yeah, well, you got to give a lot of credit to these coaches. Garrick Hotaling, Paul Cronin.
And their coaching
staff.
John
staffs. Antonio. You look down, all of the coaches now for all the teams in our leagues are all very good, and they're excellent leaders. I did want to talk about our final top 10 guys because all season long you and I would work. We'd all work together on our final top 10. And our final top 10 this season for our area, and again, it's all subjective. It's just the three of us and Joe Pasquini. Cardinal Newman was the number one pick, 11-1. Vintage, 10-2. Now, Cardinal Newman's 12-1 now. So Vintage was 10-2. Rancho Cattati, number three, was ended up 10-3. Napa number 4, 7-4. Windsor moved up to the fifth spot. We pushed them ahead of Piner. Piner had a great season. Probably, I'll tell you, when you're thinking about the most surprising team and a great season, the Piner prospectors with Terrence Bell, they were unbelievable.
Yeah, you got to give a lot of credit to Coach Bell, and he did a great job of that program. But I think the one thing that Piner was lacking was a quality win. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see them hopefully play some more challenging opponents next year, and maybe they might just if they get moved up into the Oak Division.
Well, Piner was a feel-good story this year. It was. The way they were able to turn their program around.
I agree with you.
Yes.
Glad you brought that up. So we'll move them. They didn't finish as strong as they started, so we're going to move them to the number 6 spot on our list. They ended up 10-2. Justin Siena, number 7. They were 8-4. American Canyon, 8-3. And the number 9 and 10 teams were Middletown and St. Helena. And I want to give – and Middletown was 8-3, St. Helena 9-3. Honorable mention to Willits, 8-3. The Santa Rosa Panthers, who turned their season around. I thought Russell Ponce did a wonderful job. They started off – they were 0-4, 0-5.
They pulled off the upset of the year and maybe the NCS.
Yes.
Defeating Piner.
They knocked off Piner and – that kicked out Casa Grande because if Santa Rosa wouldn't have knocked off Piner, I think Casa Grande would have gotten in the playoffs under John Antonio's first year. And then St. Vincent. St. Vincent's had a wonderful season, ended up 9-2. They did a great job. What is it, Trent Herzog?
Yes.
Trent Herzog, fantastic. These are these coaches that I'm talking about. We have so many quality coaches. And that's why these teams are competitive. Next year, there's some talk about the league's going to maybe do a little switching. They talked about maybe Annalee's going to drop down and go into the Redwood League. St. Vincent's is going to come into the Redwood League. And that's going to make the Oak League is just super strong. But you're only going to have 5 teams. If Annalee leaves and they only have 5 teams, that worries me a little bit.
And you'll have St. Vincent's going into the Redwood Division next year.
Yeah,
I would love to see Piner get picked up into the Oak Division and see what they could do. I would say this: They did a very good job of rebuilding, but that was a rebuilding schedule when it came to non-league games.
Absolutely.
And I just want to see them get tested a little bit more in league. That was the one reservation I had about them all year, was, again, a fantastic feel-good story. But you saw what happened when they went up against Newman. They had the slight hiccup against Santa Rosa, who had managed to turn their team around. I want to see them continue to get tested as against tougher opponents as they move forward.
Well, but how could you justify moving a team that didn't win the league, which was Santa Rosa? Why would you move Piner up? I don't think that would be fair. Santa Rosa won the league.
But you have to look at it a competitive aspect. You know, if Santa Rosa plays Piner 10 times, Piner probably wins the next
nine. No, you can't say that.
You can. Yes, you can.
Uh-huh. Thought experiment. Thought experiment, yes. But as far as this goes, just rewarding them based off of what they did this season and in league, they had the one hiccup in league. I think they only had the four games in the Redwood League because you have teams dropping out.
Yeah.
I just want to see an actual six-team league so that way these guys can get a full league schedule in.
And it's so hard because Montgomery won the Redwood last year, and they went 1-9 this year.
Yeah.
So
they lost some D1 talent.
Right, but it's also so hard to predict. I don't like the two-year realignment. I think it needs to be 4 years until you realign.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Well, nice job. We're going to have to wait and see where the teams settle out. Tomorrow, Michael, your homework assignment. Now you got to get us all up to date on that.
I will do my best.
Okay. Michael, so. Can you want to give us a shout-out on how people can follow you? Because I enjoy following all your stuff, Michael Barabalt.
Yeah, so I will be tweeting out, hopefully, updates. It's on Twitter at MBarabalt Media. That's at MBARIBAULTMEDIA. I will try and be tweeting out as fast as I can as soon as the brackets come out, where our local teams will be seated and playing, and when they are playing. If our local team gets placed in the AA division, they will play Friday night at 7:30. If they are placed in a single A division, they will play Saturday night at 6:00.
Yes, and I'm hoping it's going to be on KSRO. We're going to look and do our best to gather up some funds to cover that. And I just want to thank all the listeners that tuned in all season long on KSRO for the game of the week, especially Buck Stoves, Pools, and Spas. They stepped up for this championship game, but all season long it was Novato Chevrolet. I want to give one last shout out here. Jeff, why don't you give me your final thoughts? And I wanted to give one last shout out to our sponsors before we send it back to the studio there and Joe Pasquini.
Oh, I just want to give a shout out to Joe Pasquini because Joe, you know, doing a lot behind the scenes. There's a lot of times where we're communicating, you know, pull the curtain back on this theater of the mind thing that we have with radio. A lot of communication that would go back and forth with us, and I just want to say thank you, Joe, because without you hanging around at home base and playing air traffic control, none of this happens. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, here, Joe. I would say Forestville Dentistry, Dr. Carol Shiner has been my dentist for 20 years. She is accepting patients. All ages welcome. Marin Orthodontics, they have a 3D printing department that's the best in the Bay Area. T-shirt Underground, top quality, low cost T-shirts. Buck Stoves, Pools and Spas, thank you so much, Patrick. They're located at 225 West College Avenue, featuring the low pie and fireplace extraordinaire gas inserts. La Coco's Cucina Rustica, Joe and Kendall, they have the number one Italian restaurant in Sonoma County. Rick's Auto in downtown Forestville. The Tacla family have provided friendly, honest auto repair. Go in there and talk to Keith. Kenwood Hearing Center, located at 1421 Guerneville Road in Santa Rosa. Adam Jasa gave me my hearing aids. I love them. Thank you, Adam. West Coast Diesel Repair, expert repair and service, located at Airway Drive in Santa Rosa. Auto Japan, the premier Asian auto repair shop. There's two locations on Bluebell Drive and on Oakmont, 6501, and Novato Chevrolet, sales consultant David Corral. He'll give you a great deal on a great vehicle. If you want one, go in there and talk to David Corral. Novato Chevrolet, thank you for being our title sponsor for most of the season. So for Nick Mattis, for Jeff Woodworth, Michael Barabalt, I'm Nick Mattis. Thank you so much for joining us here at KSRO's Game of the Week. Final score, Cardinal Newman 13, Marin Catholic 10.
Go Cardinals.
So that wraps up tonight's game. Just go through the Division Five or all the NCS championship games. There were two games last night. Of course, Division Three, Rancho Cotati defeated Los Lomas 7-0. Their first North Coast Section Championship since 2002. Rancho Cotati is 10-3. Los Lomas ends the season at 11-2. In Division One, De La Salle, of course, they won. They defeated Pittsburgh 49-7. It's their 28th straight NCS championship. Tonight in Division Two, number one, Clayton Valley defeats Campolindo 27-7. They are now 8-5. You know what happened with Cardinal Newman. They defeat Marine Catholic, of course, in that dramatic finish, 13-10. In Division 5, Del Norte defeats Encinal, 14-13. Encinal missed an extra point with 7 minutes left. That turned out to be the difference of the game. In Division 6, St. Bernard's Academy defeats J.F. Kennedy of Richmond, 31-28. And in Division 7, Salesian defeats Ferndale 50-29. That game was actually tied 21-21 after three quarters. Salesian won going away. Tomorrow we'll have a sports doubleheader here on KSRO. The Raiders will be at Kansas City in a huge game for the top of the NFC West or AFC West. They'll be that tip-off for that or kickoff pregame show will be at 12:45. Then the Warriors will be at Orlando. That game starts at 3 p.m. We'll join that game in progress as the Raider game ends. The Raiders, Kansas City at 12:45. Warriors at Orlando right after that. So that's going to wrap it up from here. Cardinal Newman and Rancho Cotati both going to the NorCal playoffs.
Mitch Russell is the snapper. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is
he good. Made it!
And Cardinal Newman on the last play of the game. Ethan Collarborn's 36-yard field goal is good.
What a kick.
Running onto the field with the Cardinal Newman Cardinals and Marin Catholic is down.
What a game. What a kick.
Final score here at Ernie Nevers Field in Santa Rosa. And Cardinal Newman, Cardinals 13, Marin Catholic Wildcats 10.